From the KERA newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. In a moment, how a Texas hospital helps kids with gender dysphoria make the outside match the inside. First, though, the winter storm that plowed through the Northeast made good on its promise to interrupt travel. Airlines scrapped most of today's scheduled flights from major cities in that region to DFW and Love Field airports. Eric Scott got out of Baltimore just in time yesterday, arriving at Love Field in sunny Dallas to wait for his bag at a Southwest Airlines carousel. He looked forward to today's forecasted 75-degree temperatures.
I mean, I'm happy to be anywhere but Baltimore right about now because it's snowing up there. The airlines are going crazy. They're canceling all the flights.
The Dallas Morning News reports nearly 5,000 flights in all were canceled today. When your anatomy says you're one gender, but early on you know you're not, what can you do? Where can you go for help? Bill Zeeble talks with a 15-year-old and her mom about the help they've received from the only hospital in the Southwest handling comprehensive treatment for kids who suffer from what's called gender dysphoria. A gentle warning, the story contains language that could be considered graphic.
This condition, which used to be called gender identity disorder, is rare. Dr. Ximena Lopez is the endocrinologist at Genesis. The acronym stands for Gender Education and Care Interdisciplinary Support. It's a joint effort of UT Southwestern and Children's Medical Centers.
The prevalence that's been reported in the literature ranges from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 300, depending on where it's done. I think that the prevalence is definitely higher than what people think.
Lopez says gender dysphoria demands both physical and psychological care.
We do treat it as a medical condition because it can lead to psychological problems such as depression, anxiety. In children especially, that are, or in adolescents that are not supported by parents, the rate of suicidal attempt is very high. It's almost 50%. 50% compared to 4% in the general adolescent population.
That brings us to Cammie. We've agreed not to use her last name. Now approaching 16, she's had strong family support to help her deal with bullying, name-calling, and the feeling all her life that she's a girl with male anatomy. She thought she must be gay and told her mom in second grade. She was 7.
I had to go through 3rd, 4th grade. It's kind of like my little secret. Like, I didn't really tell anybody that other people knew because, you know, I was a lot more flamboyant than any of the other boys.
Mom Christina Pippin noticed differences in Cammie much, much earlier.
Cammie, from the time she was 2 or 3, from the time she potty trained, you know, she was sitting to go to the bathroom. She wouldn't stand to go to the bathroom. She was covering her genitals in the bathtub with a washcloth. She told me that her penis wasn't supposed to be there.
At 5, Cammie wanted earrings and had to write a convincing argument for mom to allow them. She succeeded. Childhood nightmares didn't include monsters, says her mother.
Her greatest fear was growing a beard. Other kids are dreaming about Freddy Krueger and the Boogeyman. Mm-hmm. Her nightmare is growing a beard, having an Adam's apple, getting a deep voice. Her biggest nightmare was puberty.
That was 6 years ago. Soon, Cammie started medically approved hormone blockers for those diagnosed as trans or transgender. Dr. Lopez says that's a reversible first step.
It can be a phase in some children. Many of those children actually end up being homosexual and not end up being all the way transgender. The children that, by the time puberty starts, persist with this gender dysphoria, those are very likely to persist actually into adulthood.
Cammie has never changed her mind, but it affected the family. Mom, a Mormon, says she was excommunicated. Cammie's dad and 3 brothers also accepted Cammie's decision, her older brother saying Cammie's always been a girl. Still, it all took time. Early on, Mom saw Cammie's condition as a curse and mourned the loss of her son before emotionally embracing the blessing of a daughter.
I think the worst fear that any parent has is losing their child to a hate crime or their child growing up and being misunderstood, maybe never being able to experience the joy of getting married or having children. And she deserves that. She deserves that because she's an incredible girl. So I don't say if, I say when she finds the right man. They will know who she is, and they won't be bothered by that. And I don't say if she has kids. I say when you have your children, you're going to be a great mother.
For now, Cammie's taking what are known as cross-sex hormones. The next step is surgery. She's still a minor, a high school freshman, but since fourth grade, when she researched it, she's been convinced she'll want what's called sex reassignment surgery.
Something that I feel like I need to move on to the next chapter in my life so I can feel more complete and comfortable in my own skin.
Eventually, there may be more hormones, possibly other operations, while watching out for cancer, a concern from taking the hormones. She and her mom wanted to talk about all of this because they hope to help others in the same situation. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Late last year, you might have noticed billboards around Dallas with statements on race and equality. Those billboards were sponsored by a Dallas organization, Make Art with Purpose, or MAP. The project called Dialogues on Race will now expand to 25 other American cities as MAP teams up with New York-based World Studio. MAP's founding director, Janelle Engelstad, said the featured artists in each place will reflect the struggles of their city, beginning with New York.
Some communities might be interested in looking at police brutality, other people at the black-white divide, other people at immigration and the Hispanic community, or how even immigration affects broader communities, not only Hispanics. So there's a lot of themes connected to race that education, housing, that could be explored in different communities depending on what these artists identify and the community members see as the need.
Open meetings between the artists, community members, and social activists will follow each installation, just like in Dallas.
A billboard is not going to solve any problems. It's a beginning. It's a way to get attention. And we have no way of measuring the impact of a billboard or a subway poster.
Except the feedback from these gatherings, Engelstad explained, which helped focus MAP arts programming in the future. To find work from the Dialogues on Race Project's Dallas phase, visit artandseek.org. In the forecast, sunny skies, a high around 75 expected today. It's 48 now in Dallas, 53 in Fort Worth. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.